Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine, welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear my voice, you are exactly where you need to be. I am your host, Rick Hale, coming to you from the jewel of the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois, and this is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Welcome. Unfortunately, tonight, Karen, the host of the show, will not be joining us, so you're going to have to deal with just little old me tonight, the co-host. Man, I don't know how you guys are going to get through. But anyways, we have an excellent show lined up for all of you listeners in the chat room right now and anybody else who's listening. We're going to be talking to Ellen McNeil. I love talking to a fellow Mick-American. She is the founder and lead investigator and case manager of Spirits of New England. And we're going to be talking to her after we take a break. Last night, for example, I got some confirmation on something that, you know, been going on at work. For all of you who know, I work with kids who have behavioral learning, conduct disorders, and I work the night shift in one of the cottages. I can't really tell you guys where it is because of, you know, we have these crazy laws here in Illinois about that. But for years, I have believed that the place was, in fact, haunted. I've had numerous experiences. I had a empty bottle of Mountain Dew thrown at me one time. I've seen things, you know, out of the corner of my eye for the most part. I've seen a couple things straight on. But one of the most interesting entities that is in this place is this weird black shadow that seems to run from back and forth to some of the rooms. And I've been seeing this for years, and finally, the other night, I come out of the bathroom, and my partner, Wendy, she's in the back hallway, and I see her looking, I see her at this end of the, this particular end of the hallway, looking in each room, and she's like, I was sitting there at the other end, and I saw this black shadow go running from one room to the other one. I'm like, thank God somebody else has finally seen what I've been seeing for 11 years, but it doesn't end there. Last night, I'm talking to one of my other coworkers, Carrie, by the way, and she's a paranormal enthusiast as well. And I was like, yeah, you know, Wendy saw this thing that I've been seeing for years now here, and she saw it at that end of the hall. And Carrie says, "Oh, the black shadow." And I'm like, "You have got to be kidding me! Yes, finally, somebody else has seen." Two people now have seen what I've been seeing for the last 11 years. I just hope nobody gets empty soda bottles thrown at them. So that's just like, a quick story of, you know, the place that I work. It's really interesting. I'm hoping that one of these days I'm going to, bring some gear in there. I'm going to set up some EMF detectors, maybe my iPod, you know, put that thing on voice memo. So, you know, that is my new thing to use rather than some overpriced and expensive voice recorder. Just use my iPod. So there you have it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Sorry we had some technical difficulties tonight, but we're going to take a quick break. And while we're gone, we're going to contact Ellen McNeil. And when we come back, Ellen McNeil, the founder and lead investigator of Spirits of New England, will be joining us. And another thing I need to recommend, otherwise the boss lady is probably going to fire me. I need to recommend that everybody go to paranormalunderground.net and check out this rather November's issue. It's an excellent issue. You will not be disappointed. So when we come back, Ellen McNeil, stick around. It's going to be live.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Knight Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com. Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
And we are back. Welcome to Paranormal. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Rick Hale. Tonight, joining us is going to be Ellen McNeil of the Spirits of New England. She is a founder and lead investigator as well as case manager. And the organization that she has actually founded is called Spirits, S-P-I-R-I-T-S. As we all know, everything has to be an acronym these days. So, Ellen McNeil, welcome to the underground.
Well, nice to finally catch up with you guys.
It is. Sorry about that. You know, we had a little bit of a misunderstanding there, but where exactly are you? You're on the East Coast somewhere, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Winthrop, Winthrop, Mass, which is right outside of Boston, and if you stand in front and back of my house and sneeze, you will end up in Logan Airport.
Well, if I ever fly into Boston, I know how to get to your house and just set an extra plate for dinner. I'm not a big eater, though.
Absolutely. Really good seafood here.
Oh, I bet. So, Spirits, S-P-I-R-T-S. Could you, let our listeners know what that is an acronym for?
It is an acronym for Supernatural Paranormal Investigations Research Intuitive Truth Society.
Cool.
You like that? And established in 2009, so in January we will be having our third birthday.
Outstanding.
Yep.
So, Ellen, what exactly is it that, brought you into this field? What was the thing that sparked your interest in the paranormal?
Well, I have, growing up, I was addicted to Hammer films, with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and Van mm-hmm. Helsing and Dracula and Creature Double Features and any type of horror movie that was on, I just loved it. And, reading Stephen King books and just being scared stiff by everything that I saw and everything that I read. I remember reading Salem's Lot. And mm-hmm. when the movie came out, my mother and I had to walk each other to the bathroom and then back to the living room again to watch the show. We were petrified because we knew that Ralphie Glick was outside the window tapping on it, wanting to come in and kill us. And
he probably still is to this day, I would imagine.
He probably is. He's probably, 50-year-old investment banker now, but that's okay. But I just always loved anything scary, and mm-hmm. You just sit there and wonder how the author came up with these ideas. And when my brother was killed in Vietnam in 1971, we found out the day afterwards. But both my father and I had things happen the day before, which was the actual day he died. Excuse my dachshund, who was about to get sprayed.
Oh, that's
with a water bottle.
No, it's all right. I used to have a dog myself.
Oh, God.
Your brother. What you're saying is your brother died in Vietnam, and I know it's been about 40 years since, but
right.
Very sorry about that. I actually had a lot of my family members who were in Vietnam, but what you're saying is you had some kind of experience? Did you say precognition?
Yeah,
knowing
it was very odd because it was the first and pretty much the only time that I've ever had any type of feeling like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was in school, and I was very quiet in school, which I've made up for over the years. And I just got up and walked out of one of my classes, and just knew that there was something wrong, something terrible,
right.
Terribly wrong. And I called the house, and I said, "Is everything all right?" And my grandmother had answered the phone, and she's like, yeah, everything's fine. She says, your mother's out shopping. She says, what's the matter? And I said, I just don't, there's just something wrong. I don't know what it is, but there's something terribly wrong. And she's like, oh, don't be silly. Everything's fine. And she said, oh, there's somebody at the door. I'll talk to you when you get home from school. And I remember standing there just screaming, don't answer the door. Don't do it. And it was the guy from the Army, the soldier, with the telegram to say that he had passed away. And it was raining out. And when my mother, you know, my mother would pick me up from school if it was raining, and she'd always be facing the school because she'd be coming down the hill to get me. And I walked outside, and it was pouring out, and I look at the car, and it's facing the wrong way.
Okay.
And I just walked over to the car, opened the door, and I said, what has happened? And she said, it's your brother. He's been killed. And I went to the house, and because I knew it was going to rain that day, I had closed my windows in my room, which used to be his room. And I, you know, I ran up the stairs and, you know, ran into my room, and his high school picture was laying face down on the ground. And my windows were shut. None of the cats were in there. Nobody had been in my room, and this was up on a bureau, and it was laying face down on the floor.
Sure.
You know, it just, I mean, it just, it still traumatizes me 40 years later, but it made me think he went out of his way to let me know and also to let my father know that he was gone.
Right.
I don't get headaches, but I had a migraine that I had to lay down for, and I kept seeing like a horizon with fireworks. And I said, what, you know, this is ridiculous. What is this? And it was landmines going off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that made me think, what is, there has to be something that's so, I don't even know the word, beyond our realm that we just don't understand.
Right.
And for some, I don't know how he did it, but he tried to prepare us for this.
Yeah.
And that gave me such a just overwhelming need to know what's out there, what happens after we die. How could he prepare us for this? You know, that wasn't a coincidence.
So was Spirits then pretty much was born out of just this rather, you know, heartbreaking situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, it started me reading a lot of books, paying attention to other people in pain that also had something unusual happen when there was a death.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me go out of my way to try to comfort them because, you know, people say, oh, if there's anything you need, anything I can do. And that's just like a conditioned response, you know, when somebody's grieving, because you don't know what to say. But I wanted to be able to sit down and say, I know. I understand. I went through it myself.
Right.
And when Ghost Hunters came on, I just lost my mind. I just said, this is, it's just amazing that these two guys are doing this, and it's something that I've always wanted to do, but nobody was quite knew what to do to jump on that bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now that's something that's always interested me. You know, I've actually had to, you know, clarify that I am, you know, not a Taps hater. Which I'm not. I think they've done great things for the field.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking a little bit about this with Cheryl and Chad before the show that, believe it or not, the idea of organized paranormal investigation actually goes back to the first century with a poet and philosopher named Lucian and Ovid. These guys actually traveled the countryside looking and hunting for spirits and, you know, trying to answer these great philosophical questions. What happens to us after life and death? Right. And it's like, you know, they've done great.
We didn't know about them.
Sure.
It wasn't something that was talked about. And with ghost hunters, I mean, I know there's people that despise them. There are people that love them. For me, they opened up a door for me.
Right.
And because we're going to be 3 years old in January, we've lasted longer than so many groups that I've heard of.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to. You know, it's not easy getting a group together. You there?
I'm still here. We're having some kind of strange feedback right now on my end. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if I fell back to sleep or not.
No. I'm still here. It's weird. Every now and then I can hear the sound of my own voice, and it's like, where is this coming from?
I mean, ghost hunters made it so it was acceptable to do what we're doing. That
sure.
We didn't have to feel ashamed about it. And, you know, unfortunately, there are some people that abused it. And then there are some people that, you know, hopefully, like us, that are totally sincere about this.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is help clients that need somebody to talk to and need somebody to come out and try to help them.
And that's the important thing behind this. I think a lot of people have, you know, because they want to build the bigger, better website, or, you know, there's actually people that I've spoken to that, man, they really want to be on television and this is their way to fame and glory. And I think we've forgotten that in this field, that we really are there to help.
Would you
agree?
Yes, Katie Boyd and Becca Boyd, I'm sure you've heard of them. Katie's a demonologist up in New Hampshire, and Becca Boyd is a sixth-generation psychic medium who is her partner. And they are amazing, amazing, amazing people. And
sure.
I have so much respect for them.
So you are okay with using, you know, psychics, mediums, intuitives, you know, anything the more mystical side of it. You're okay with using that in your group?
No. I've only done it once. Katie had a very interesting post on Facebook yesterday saying that she's very troubled by some of the groups that she's been hearing about that have just disappointed clients. The clients have contacted them, and the terrible behavior and arrogance some of these teams have, and they come in all full of themselves, but they don't help the client, and they don't get in touch with the client. And I said that the bottom line is being an investigator and having a team should not be a competition. It should be mutual respect, and if you're not there to comfort and help a client, then you're in the wrong business.
Well, see, that's kind of what I tell people. You know, I've been, personally with me, I've been actively investigating since about 1991, and I've been researching since about 1982.
Wow.
And, you know, I talk to some people, and it's like, they're really in for all the wrong reason. And usually when somebody asks me who wants to get involved with this, and it's like, and I ask them, it's like, why? Are you looking for, you know, some kind of cheap thrill? Are you looking for some kind of a scare? Are you looking, you know, God forbid, to be famous? And if they can answer yes to any one of those three questions, I say, you know what? Go join the Marines, jump out an airplane, or get a membership at a stripper club, because this is not the field for you.
Going back to Katie, we had been contacted by a woman who saw an article on us. I work for a hospital in Boston, and they, because the other girl, one of the other people on the team also works in the same department as I work in, and they did an article on us, and this woman contacted us, and she told me all the things that were going on in her condo, and I was like, good God, I never had a case like this. So we went down there, and, you know, we did the investigation, and I said, you know what? I am not qualified for this investigation. I've never had, the activity that she's going through. And I said, I need some help on this because I am not leaving this woman high and dry. And I'm not going to pretend that, oh, yeah, you're all set. Okay, you know, bye-bye, thanks a lot. You know, so I called Katie and Becca. And I said, listen, I just don't know what to do for this woman. And I said, if you've got time, I'd really like to talk with you about this and see, have I done everything I can to help this woman? And they both were like, listen, they listened and they came down and helped us. And between all of us, we took care of all the problems that she had. You know, this woman was going to sell her condo. She was not sleeping. It was awful.
Well, you tease us a little bit with that, Ellen. I mean, can you tell us what was going on in the condo that, you know, made her so frightened?
Yeah. She had voices. She had activity going on. She had a loft upstairs that her little granddaughter would not even go up in. She said, Grandma, she said, I don't like being up here. It doesn't feel nice up here.
Yeah.
And
kids are very, very sensitive to that kind of thing.
Very. And, we told Becca what was going on, but we left out some things. And she came to the house, and the first thing she did was just look upstairs and say, I need to go up. And she went upstairs, and she felt, you know, this woman was very into New Age things with the little waterfalls and crystals and everything.
Yeah.
And Becca was like, you've got to get all the stuff out of here. You know, you've got quartz all over the house, and that magnifies. You've got it, next to water. She said, you're magnifying everything that's wrong in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done an EVP session in her bedroom. And, you know, we start off very professionally. And if we, you know, if we're not getting, you know, any reaction, then we just kind of relax and we just, goof off and talk and, you know, chit-chat about stuff, you know, to encourage the whoever is there that they're welcome to jump in on the conversation.
Right.
So Sharon and I are sitting there talking, and when we played back the recording, you hear us talking, and over us, you hear clearly, dead in the swamp.
Dead in the swamp.
Dead in the swamp.
So
not
is...
not my tablecloth is blue. Dead in the swamp. You know,
so is there a swamp nearby? Did you guys, look at anything historically?
She is right on the cusp of the Hockomock Swamp.
Okay.
Which is part of the Bridgewater Triangle.
Oh, yes. And, very familiar with that.
Right. And we also found out that this was Indian burial area.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that whoever the spirit was in the house was murdered on this property.
Okay. So
if she was an Indian, and, you know, Becca was like, there is somebody that is so sad in this house. And she said, I really feel that this woman was killed on the property, you know, probably a couple hundred years ago. But she is protecting the homeowner. And, you know, we were hashing this out, and I said, you know what? This woman, the spirit, we think was murdered. And the homeowner is being abused by her husband.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah. That'll do it.
It was like she latched on to the homeowner.
Right.
You know, to protect her. And there were just so many things going on. And we were standing in the bedroom, and Becca was talking, and two of my friends were out in the hall, and I was listening to Becca, and all of a sudden I had a very firm hand on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned around to acknowledge my friends, to thank them for not scaring the hell out of me, and they're still out in the hall, and there's nothing behind me.
Sure.
Now, that was the first time, hopefully the last, that I had ever been touched, and it freaked me out, and I just stood there very quietly,
mm-hmm.
and I attempted to say to Becca, do you feel that the spirit is here? And of course it came out and my voice was shaking,
right.
And she picked right up on it, because I was trying to be very cool and calm about the whole thing and very professional, and mm-hmm. it wasn't working, and you know, oh, God. And she said, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
and I hope it never happens to you, but yeah. I've been touched, but I was on an investigation. I was smacked so hard in the head by what was in the house that it actually left a nice big red mark across my forehead and a splitting headache for the rest of the night. So just be thankful that you were only touched. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, thanks for giving me something to look forward to.
You're absolutely welcome about that. No problem.
Afterwards, Becca came over to me and she said, what's wrong? And, excuse me, I said, I got a hand, you know, not like a poke in the shoulder. This was a hand, palm of a hand on my shoulder. And she's like, how do you feel about that? And I said, I don't know what to think. I said, how can something that's not there manifest enough energy to have a hand on my shoulder?
Sure.
And I said, I don't know how to deal with this. And she said, let me tell you something. She said, she knows that we are here to help the homeowner.
Right.
She said, this woman was murdered on this property. She said, I am certain of that. And she said, if she put her hand on your shoulder, she said, take that as a compliment, because not many people can ever say that that happened to them.
Right.
And that was the only way I could deal with it. You know, is to say, you know what? You're welcome. I'm glad we could do something to help you, both of you, deal with what's going on in this house.
Well, the woman who is experiencing this, and you said that, she was being abused by her husband.
Yes.
Was there ever any, you know, resolution to that? How is this former client? Do you keep up with your former clients?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
The funny thing is that she works in the hospital, and Sharon and I are walking down the hall, and this woman comes walking towards us. Hi, how are you? Ellen and Sharon, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, holy crap, who is this? And,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
Smiling and talking, and I'm looking at her, and, you know, she walks away, and Sharon was like, was that our homeowner? And I said, are you serious? Because she was haggard because she couldn't sleep. She had big bags under her eyes. She looked like she had had a facelift. She looked beautiful. And I wrote to her, and I apologized. And I said, I cannot believe how different you look. And she said, I'm sleeping. She says, my house isn't haunted anymore. She said,
outstanding.
I look like this because of your team and the fact that you didn't give up on me. And she got divorced. She didn't sell her condo. And the day after our big investigation with Katie and Becca, I called her the next morning just to see how she was doing with the whole thing.
Sure.
And she said, I slept like a log last night. And she said, my granddaughter came in the house, went up in the loft, and she said, it's nice up here now. What happened? She didn't tell her. You know, she didn't want to tell her that, you know, people were coming to see if we had a ghost. But she, I mean, she got the biggest kick out of, you know, neither of us not quite sure that it was her, because it was just like a hi, how you doing?
Right.
It wasn't like, so, is your house still haunted type of conversation? Oh, my God.
So you still got that ghost there you're worried about? Yeah. No,
she got rid of the crystals, which were magnifying things.
Sure.
And she said the voices that she would hear, those stopped. Everything stopped. You know, and we just stood there and said, listen, you are welcome to stay here, but if you do not respect the woman that owns this house now, you have to go.
Right.
You know, you just, you can't keep doing this to her.
Nate, nicely done. You know, kudos with that.
I don't like provoking. I don't.
No, absolutely not.
TV. I think it's absolutely disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of it is for show on TV.
Yes.
And if I was a ghost, I'd knock your ass down the stairs if you talk to me like that.
Right. Well, it's kind of like this, you know, like you're alive, you're, you know, sitting in your front room drinking a beer, watching the ball game. All of a sudden, you know, I think I am psychic, yes. But, you know, you're just sitting there and you're kicking back, and all of a sudden, like, this group of people come into your home and they're like, hey, look here, mother effer, you need to get out. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, this is my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny. I had gone to, Jason and Grant were doing a lecture a couple of years ago, and I said, oh, you know, let's go down and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were down there, the front row had a team in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in jumpsuits with boots, the hat, everything. And, you know, they stood up, and it was, you know, all attitude and all show. And I said, first of all, they look like Janet Jackson's backup dancers. And if they showed up at my house like that, I wouldn't have let them in.
See, and that now, and you know, you got stuff like that, and it's like, wow, no wonder mainstream science does not take us seriously.
Yeah, they looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, maybe 4 years ago, so, you know, hopefully they've, you know, gotten a fashion guru in there, and they've toned it down a bit.
But yeah.
They were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. See, and I think that these are the kind of people that, you know, you can easily just sort of laugh off. Now, if I was talking to somebody like that, those are the kind of people that I would say, there's the door, go do something else, you don't belong
right.
in this field.
So, like, if you're not...
And I don't care if that sounds arrogant.
No, it isn't arrogant. You know, people can't understand that... I mean, we did a lecture at the Winthrop Library a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came up to me and said, now, tell me the truth. And I was like, okay. You really don't charge for your investigations, but how do you bill your clients? Like, hello? I sell Avon. I do craft fairs. That's
mm-hmm.
how I make money, you know, other than my, you know, my full-time job. I do extra stuff so I can buy equipment.
Sure.
I said, I'm doing this to help somebody that is afraid to be in their house.
Right.
You know, if you're sitting there and you sit down and you're like, oh, my God, what was that? What am I hearing? What's this? What's that? If you're not safe in your own house and you're not comfortable in your own house, there's
mm-hmm.
a big problem.
Well, you know, it's like with anything. If you have a problem with mice, you call an exterminator.
Right.
If you have a problem with your plumbing, you call a plumber. But you want to make sure that you call a qualified exterminator or a plumber.
Exactly.
Somebody that's, you know, somebody that's been in the field for a long time. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And,
no
you know, I've, yeah, no jumpsuits. But I don't know. I think maybe plumbers and exterminators, that might be okay.
Yeah.
I've actually... Yeah, I mean, I've actually been on investigations where they've, oh, we had people in here before, and it's like, their behavior was atrocious. They were in here. They were yelling at, you know, God knows what is in our house. Yep. They were using swear words. I got my kids, you know, that are listening to this kind of stuff. And it's like, there needs to be that kind of professionalism in the field, right?
I mean, I always talk to the client before we go because I want to feel comfortable with them and I want them to trust me.
Sure.
You know, I want them to know that whether we find something or not, it's okay. You know, if everything we find is just something that's, you know, pipes or whatever, if it's not paranormal, I'm not going to be upset if it's not paranormal. You know, I'm not going to say to them, oh, you know, we came all the way out here and there's no ghost here.
Right.
There's people that do that.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, I know.
It's just awful. It's just awful.
Well, I've actually talked to people who are they are so against the idea of the personal experience that they won't even look at that seriously. And it's like, first off, when you were a child and you saw your first ghost, I'm pretty sure that you didn't have a video camera in your hand while you saw it. That was a personal experience that caused you to have a serious change in your perception of what is reality. And it's incredibly disingenuous. And I think it sucks that there are people like that in the field right now.
Yeah.
It's a place to start.
We had this very dear woman, this little, you know, 4'5" Italian woman, that we went to her house. She's got all sorts of stuff going on in her house. And she had a priest come in, charge her $200. She had a team come in that walked out with stuff saying, this is possessed. You know, this is demonic. You need to get this out of the house. Took her stuff off the walls, off her shelves, and walked out with them and charged her. The team charged her $300. The priest charged her $200 and stole from her.
Wow.
Now
it's that kind of stuff that kind of puts us back to the old days of spiritualism when you'd come in and sit and you'd have somebody reach their hands out of a black cloth to touch you on their head and then they take you for everything you're worth. Yeah.
I mean, she was telling us this stuff and she was crying.
Yeah.
And she was afraid of these people. I mean, she's tiny and her mother was there and she's even tinier. And the two of them are sitting there crying, telling us about this. You know, she takes off to go to her mother's house for the night. She says, look in the refrigerator, you're all set. She had made this mountain of food for us and left a $100 bill on the counter for us.
Mm.
And we all looked at it, and we all just looked at each other, and I wrote a note, and I said, Rose, thank you so much for the food. We enjoyed it very much. I said, thank you for this $100 bill, but please do not be insulted that we will not take it.
Right.
After all you have gone through, the last thing that I'm going to do is take advantage of you like they did. I mean, as much as it would have been great to have, you know, gas money because it was a 2.5-hour drive to her house, I wouldn't have taken that money for anything.
Absolutely not. You know, Ellen, we're going to, you know, we're running up to the top of the hour. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, some of the investigations that Spirits has done. You guys have done a lot of private residences, and you know, I always find those very interesting and a lot more enjoyable to listen to than, you know, going into some crotchety old abandoned home. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and everybody, you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more to Ellen McNeil, founder and lead investigator and case manager for Spirits of New England.org. Come on back.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.org.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal TV Show.
Mr. Guy Who Wants His Own Paranormal Show!
You wear your beans with pride and your t-shirt three sizes too small, even though you have the body of a 98-pound video game nerd. Every location you visit may have a gift shop and thousands of visitors, but somehow you still get possessed by something evil.
You're dragging me straight to hell.
It may look like a bug to the rest of the world, but to you it's a demonic orb, and it wants to eat your soul.
Ah!
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Overly Dramatic. Your acting may not be all that great, but you sure look awesome every time you see yourself in the mirror.
It's the guy who wants his own paranormal show.
Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. I'm the intern. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
We all know people who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
3. I work at the coffee shop around the corner.
2. I'm your babysitter. I care for your children.
1. I'm your grandmother's friend. We play bingo together.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your assignment is to listen to The Buzz on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central on ztalkradio.com. This message will self-destruct.
This is Nick Page, the founder of Eastern Washington Paranormal, and I wanted to take a moment to invite you to the EWP podcast. In the show, co-host Greg Wright and I, we take an objective look at paranormal subjects such as haunting activity, UFOs, cryptozoology, and other unexplained phenomena. You can visit us at ewppodcast.com and download a show for free or stream it right from the website. We hope that you swing by and give the official podcast of Eastern Washington Paranormal a try. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ztalkradio.com. I am your host, Rick Hale, and for the last 40, 45 minutes or so, we've been talking to Ellen McNeil, founder and lead investigator, as well as case manager for Spirits, Supernatural Paranormal Investigations Research Intuitive Truth Society. That's a mouthful, Ellen. I don't know how you do that.
I know, that's why I
You know,
everybody's
everybody's got to have an acronym. I remember actually back in the days where I was just, you know, some guy who came into your house and observed what was going on, some weird stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we went on break, you know, I wanted, you know, told people that we were going to talk a little bit about some of the cases that you've worked. I mean, we heard about the one which is amazing. And, you know, I think you did a great job with that. And it's something that's missing these days. But, you know, I'm really impressed because it looks like Spirits has done a lot of private residences. And, you know, most of the time people, they just want to go into an abandoned building and yell at something that may or may not even be there. So, you know, can you tell us a little bit about some of these private residences that you've done?
Sure. But I also wanted to tell you about the Spirits name. I didn't want people to think we were a liquor store. Spirits in New England. Oh, wow. They got beer? No. We're looking for ghosts. Sorry.
They're their own microbrew.
A little microbrew, right? Yeah, well, we've been very, very fortunate that we have done a lot of private homes, and that seems to be the one thing I hear about from newer groups is that, oh, I can never get a house. And, you know, there's so many groups that go to places that 500 other teams have done.
Sure. You know,
and it's like, yeah, that's great to go there, but who did you help?
Right.
What have you done to help somebody? To get the houses, I give out business cards. I did word of mouth. I had us join the Chamber of Commerce, which was one of the best things to do because it instantly gave us some respect. They're like, okay, so that this really is a sincere team here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been very lucky with also doing some historic homes. We've worked with the military on an extremely famous location that
now
I love to scream from the mountaintops because everybody would know where it is, but we're not allowed to put it on our website.
Can you talk about it on the air, though?
I don't know. I don't want to have people in big boots showing up at my house.
Remember, Ellen, this is a talk show.
Okay.
No. You know what? You know what? If you're not allowed,
please
don't.
It's the military.
Sure.
I need to be respectful of the security issues.
Right.
With this location, but it's the military. It's famous, and it is so haunted. We got the most amazing evidence, the most amazing EVPs. We had my partner Becky saw a little boy here around the corner of the captain's quarters, and we did not catch that on video, but we caught her seeing the little boy on video, which was hysterical. You know, it's like Fred Flintstone when he's running on his toes down the bowling lanes. It was amazing. And I can go to my grave saying the military knows it's haunted, the captain knows it's haunted, the crew knows it's haunted, and we know it's haunted. We validated every single thing that the crew had told us.
See, and I think that that's kind of amazing. You know, when you have the United States military, you know, the people who protect us as we sleep at night, and they're like, hey, you know what? We're seeing and experiencing some really, really weird S in our place. Can you come down and take a look at it? And then just to, you know, to validate for them, I think that that's amazing. I've never been quite that lucky.
Yeah. I just you know, I was thinking of places to investigate, and I said, you know what? I'm never going to know unless I ask. So I wrote to the military, wrote them a very nice little email, and told them about my, you know, my dad was in the Army, and just, you know, introduced myself and the team. And the fellow that is the event coordinator for this location, you know, gets a, you know, tons of requests all the time. So he took my email to the captain, and he said, I think you should read this. And the captain read it, and he put it on the desk, and he folded it, and he handed it back to him. And he was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have brought it in here. And he said, well, what are you waiting for? Give her a call.
Like, so it didn't take, like, an act of Congress or anything like that to get you all in there?
No.
Okay.
You know, because I said to him later, I said, what made you say yes? And he said, he loved your email. Because it wasn't like, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I want to come here, and I want to do this, and I want to do that.
Right.
You know, it was, I don't know, I was just respectful and honest. And it was a two-night investigation, and it was the most amazing experience that I will ever have. It's unless Michelle and Barack give us a call and ask us to come to the White House, it'll be the biggest investigation that we will ever do.
I tell you what, I'm going to put it to you like this. President Barack Obama, I voted for you a couple of years ago. Now, if you let me, you know, and Ellen McNeil, you know, I'm going to vote for you again, man. Just let us in there. I know you're a comic book nerd like me. Come on.
Yeah, we know Abe is walking around. But, I mean, I could not be prouder of this investigation.
Sure.
And it kills me that for national security reasons, we can't put it on the website, and it killed me. But he said you can talk about it.
Okay.
But I don't think I should blurt it out.
No, to the that's
public. Yeah. I would feel that I was betraying them.
Yeah, I don't want you to, like, you know, being hung in the gallows at Leavenworth or anything like that. All right. So, moving right along away from. The pain of being shot in front of a firing squad. private residences. Now, to me, that's where it's at. I've done, in the last 2 years alone, I've probably maybe done 50 private residences. That's a lot. But that's what we've done. And maybe about 10%, actually, I walked away from there saying, yeah, these people have a real legitimate problem. But, so what are... Let's go down the list.
A good one that we did in Connecticut.
Okay.
And they were having, she did not want to go in her basement. She wasn't comfortable in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down there and we did some history on the house and found out that it was part of the Underground Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so God only knows what happened to these people down in the basement. So... You know, we're down there and we're talking, and I said, you know, we just drove 3 hours down here from Boston, and, you know, I hope somebody feels comfortable enough to talk to us.
Right.
I'd hate to leave and not hear from anybody, and I said, you know, you're not in any trouble, you know, just, you know, trying to comfort them, and... When we played me saying that back, it said, you know, when I said I'd hate to leave and, you know, not hear from anybody, right over my voice you hear, you go home now.
See, now that's a nice way of saying get out.
Yeah, and I said, you know, I said, even in the afterlife I get no respect. You know, not taking any pity on me in this long drive at all. And the homeowner... you know, she's a very earthy mother, crunchy granola type, and she says, "Oh, I've got all, you know, I have 5 kids, and you know, if there's somebody down here that needs a hug, you know, you can come and talk to me, and I'll give you a hug. I'm sorry that I've been afraid to come down here. And she's mm-hmm. going on and on, and over her, you hear this little boy's voice say, "Don't touch me."
Wow, this was not a friendly spirit.
This was not friendly at all. But we were dying over, being, dissed by somebody down in the basement. But after we left, everything stopped.
Sure.
So.
Now, do you think that's with having so many people down there? Do you think that? Do you believe that, there's kind of a symbiotic relationship, that they actually need our energy to manifest or show themselves? Do you think that that's what was going on down there at the time?
I don't know. I just thought they were pissed off that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
This is my basement. We've gone through hell together, and, who are you to come down here and interfere with us?
Right.
We said, you're going to have to coexist with the family that lives here. She should be able to come down here and do the laundry without feeling that you're going to do something to her.
Right. But, was there any kind of, real, hardcore type physical manifestations or...
No.
Was anybody ever harmed?
No, but...
Oh, good.
Paintings were... I've never done an investigation that somebody had been hurt.
Okay.
My daughter got kicked on the USS Salem.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty impressed by that, but nobody that's ever been harmed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you referenced the USS Salem. It always interests me how something like that could be haunted. It's nothing but you get places like the Hornet or whatever. It's all just nothing but metal. You kind of wonder. It's like, how does anything stay there without having something natural to attach itself to?
I know. But and there are people that did die on the you'll love this. They did die on the Salem, and the Salem was also. Would pick up bodies from different ports and bring them to other locations.
Okay.
So they had meat walkers down in the basement where they would just stack the bodies up because they also visited hospitals. So we did an EVP session inside the meat walker, but nothing happened. In fact, I don't think we, other than Sarah getting kicked, we didn't get any EVPs. We didn't get anything. But I know people that have. I slept on the ship, and it would take the ship sinking to wake me up.
Sure.
So nothing happened to me. But
good.
She was leaning on the counter, leaning forward on the counter, and she had her legs in back of her. So just as she was leaning forward, so her legs were out at an angle, and she said it was almost like somebody had walked behind her and not seen that she had her legs out and just kind of tripped over her feet.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a, not like a hard kick, but a definite, enough for her to, turn around to say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and there was nobody there, and it knocked her off balance.
Okay. It's kind of weird when you think about it. Even with the whole idea of catching EVPs, how does something that has, no physical parts to it, has no skin, no bone, nothing, how is it that they're able to kick somebody, or how is it that they're able to talk in an...
The shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah, or...
I think that is the wonderment of it. People... Well, I was like, "Well, what about equipment? Have you seen a ghost?" I said, "No, I have never seen a ghost. I've never seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
I got the hand on me, and I've been disrespected terribly on EVPs. But other than that, I said that I've not had something happen. But when I mean, people can fake photographs. They can. I mean,
yes.
Oh, I'm sure they could. They can do something with recorders too. But
right.
For me, that's my recorder. I bought it at Best Buy. Nobody else has touched it.
Right.
I know what's on there is honest. It's, you know, it's
sure.
Not tampered with. This is what is on my recorder.
Right.
And something was able to break through a barrier and speak to me
mm-hmm.
and speak to us. And if you're not in awe of that and you don't respect that, there's something wrong with you, because
yeah.
It's just so amazing.
Yeah.
When we did our lecture at the library, of everything we talked about in the whole presentation, what I was the proudest of was the EVPs we got.
Yeah, you know, it's like, for me, everybody always talks, oh, we got to get the picture of this, or you got to get the video of that, and it's like, no, it's for me, I'm an EVP junkie. I think that's where it is.
Yeah, me too. And people are like, oh, what about orbs? And it's like, I don't want to hear about orbs. They're dust, damn it. You know, you've got your camera, the flash goes on the dust, and it illuminates it. Either
sure.
That or it's a bug. Get over it. It's not an orb. It's dust. You know, people come up to me and they show me all these pictures, and I have to be like, oh, you know, honey, I think this is pollen, or I think this is dust.
Well, what about
the whole family of ghosts? No.
Well, what about, see, I always say with, like, you know, orbs, that if it's just sort of hanging there looking stupid and you can look through it and it's not doing anything,
yeah.
You know, chances are, yeah, it's probably dust or pollen or some kind of dirt or, you know, precipitation or whatever. But
spiders.
Yeah, sometimes you get the ones where it's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's giving off its own light. It looks like it's moving. It actually has a vaporous trail behind it. And I know for me that I have to go along with what, you know, physics say, that a sphere is the simplest form for energy to take.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, you can tell the difference. If it's solid
right.
And it's giving off its own light, maybe has a vaporous trail, looks like it's moving, chances are that that's probably some kind of unexplained energy. That's what I'm going to, that's what I'll say about that.
I'll say, you know, out of 100, 99 of them are dust and bugs, but I said you'll see that one picture that
mm-hmm.
you can't explain.
Right.
You know, and that's just what I say. I can't explain this. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But most of it, just crap.
Now you've done more than just private residences. When I was visiting your website, I looked at some of the places that you guys went to, and you know, one of the places that interests me was the Harley House Bed and Breakfast. Now.
Yes.
That's one of the locations that I've never heard of before, so I'm really intrigued to find out what it is that you guys experienced there and how it is that you became involved with investigating it.
Through the extremely wonderful Shannon Sylvia.
Okay, yeah, we've had her on the show.
Yeah, she lives right by that place, and they do have some activity going on there. Some family members had passed away in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there twice, but only investigated once, and I didn't catch anything.
Okay.
But it's a fascinating little place.
Well, what's the history behind it? I mean, what exactly is said to be there?
It used to be an old chicken farm, and it was run by the owner's family.
Okay.
And they all lived in the house, and a couple of them passed away in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And people have, excuse me, heard voices, you know, things moved around.
Sure.
All I can say is I didn't catch anything.
Well, see, now look.
That night, they just weren't active that night.
Now, I wanted to ask you that because I have seen on many times on, you know, on Ghost Hunters that they will go into a location and just because they didn't catch anything at the time, well, that means the place isn't haunted.
No.
Now, I think that that's kind of arrogant to say that because you're not in that place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now, you know what's going on in your house unless you, you know, have a kid who's, you know, smoking weed or whatever in his room. You know, I mean, that's something that doesn't want to be seen. But when you have something that wants to be seen,
yeah,
it's very arrogant, I think, for you to come in there and say, oh, no, this is you're not experiencing that. That's not right.
I mean, just because I didn't catch anything that night doesn't mean that the next night all hell didn't break loose.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't mean that I would say to the owner, oh, sorry, this place isn't haunted because I didn't catch anything.
Right.
You know, that's arrogant.
Yes.
You just be like, if we go somewhere and we don't catch anything and we don't feel that it's paranormal, I'm not going to make them feel bad.
Sure.
Every investigation, if you don't learn something from every investigation you go on, then you didn't do it right.
Right.
You know, there should always be something that sticks in your head that you can use for another investigation.
Right.
You know, whether it's learning a new piece of equipment, you know, just trying new things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arrogance is definitely something that I see from a lot of teams. And
yes.
It's just like, you know what? I hope to God that spirits keeps going for another 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at this group and say, you know what? You're rubbing me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta, you know, and, you know, I like people until they give me a reason not to like them.
Absolutely.
But if you come across as arrogant and cocky, then you're not going to last. Because
right.
You're not working as a team. You're working as an ego.
Yeah, and you're not doing anything to further the field. You're just making the rest of us serious-minded researchers look like a bunch of, well, douchebags, I guess you could probably
really?
Say. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that. Now, another really interesting place, and this has actually been seen on television quite a bit, is the Houghton Mansion.
That now, place is amazing.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we've all seen it on Ghost Adventures, and I think that's one of the few locations where Zach didn't say that a demonic orb was out to eat his soul. But, I mean, it very interesting place. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was your experience there?
We had a lot of K2 hits there,
mm-hmm.
Not a lot of EVPs. I mean, the place itself is it's a fascinating place with a fascinating history. You know, it does have, on a rainy night, the creep factor is, you know, 100%.
Right.
I definitely think that there is somebody there protecting the place.
Okay.
Unless the people there were manipulating the K2 meter,
mm-hmm.
which I would be disgusted if they were, but I don't think they're that type of person, but I'm using them as an example. We got so many K2 hits in direct response to questions, and I would even reword a question and throw it in maybe 5 minutes later and still get the same type of response. It's one of those places that if you have a bucket list of places to go, it's definitely worth going to. It's
right.
A very, very interesting place.
See, now the thing that I find the most interesting about Houghton Mansion is that it is a Masonic temple, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
so
we didn't investigate in the actual temple. We went in and saw it, but it was closed, and we had the rest of the house
yeah.
That we could walk around in.
See, I think it's interesting because you get your conspiracy theorists who are all about, you know, hey, the Masonics, the Masons, they want to take over the world. Usually, the Masons that I've known and you know, the Masonic temples that I've been in, it's usually a bunch of, like, old men sitting around drinking scotch, bitching about their wives and kids. That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if the Masons are going to let, you know, either, you know, Zach, Nick, or Aaron, you know, whomever, or yourself right. in there, they must not be really that secretive after all.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, it was it was a learning experience. It felt like an honor to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like this was a very trying to think of the word. It was an honor to be there.
Sure.
I felt like it was that us being there, you know, I mean, you pay to go there, but mm-hmm. it's not going into their pockets. It's going into the mansion.
Right.
The upkeep of the mansion. So it didn't feel like you were being hustled in there. The people that, you know, run these events love this place, and
right.
they're passionate about it, and they're protective of it, and I like that.
See, what it's another one of those places that is just, it's so incredibly sad. I mean,
yeah.
the, you know, the, I,
yeah.
the death and the tragedy and
yeah.
suicide. And, you know,
yeah.
we have some places, you know, that's very much like that up where I am in Chicago. One of those places being Hull House. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
It's on the west side of Chicago, and it was run by Jane Addams, and it was kind of like a place where people could come and be protected. Unfortunately, though, it kind of like worked up this reputation for being, you know, being where the devil baby lived. And look it up. I mean, it's amazing. But there was just, you know, a great deal of tragedy in these kind of places. You got somebody who died early. You got somebody who, you know, blew brains out, like the Lent Mansion in St. Louis. And this is definitely, the Houghton Mansion is just one of those places where it's like a guy was so guilty about killing his employer in a
yeah.
car accident that he just took
yeah.
his own life. Just
yeah.
so incredibly sad.
Mr. Witters.
Right.
Mr. Witters.
And you see,
he was the one, if it was him, he was the one that was giving us the K2 hits.
Sure.
You know, we were in his bedroom and... You know, you were right. It was being a woman and being a mother and being sensitive, I just felt very sad.
But now...
The whole story there was so sad.
Right, but now you say... Okay, I believe you did say that you did pay in that to go here, and a lot of people, they go here. Don't you think that it's, you know... As a longtime psychical researcher investigator, I very much believe in the use of psychic mediums, and it's been my experience that yes, there are people, and even though I can only count three of them that I would say that have a legitimate gift,
yes.
Don't you think that it's sort of important to maybe try and bring one of these people along that you know and trust and help one and help this spirit say, hey, you know what? You need to go, dude. You need to move on to the other side.
Right.
Just like with the Villisca Axe Murder House. You mm-hmm. go there, and it's like, my God, these are the souls of children. They deserve
right.
to move along.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my experience with psychic mediums, I've met a couple that I just thought were, you know, nice people, full of crap.
Yeah.
You know, trying to tell me stuff, you know. Well, I see a woman with gray hair standing in behind you. Gee.
Chances are that's your grandmother, because your grandmother did, in fact, look like that. Yeah.
Just generic crap.
Sure.
So when I met Becca Boyd, she blew me out of the water.
Right.
Because I did not want to like her. I didn't want to trust her. I didn't want to believe her, because it's a whole topic that I've never been involved with, and I didn't want to encourage her
her insanity?
Yeah, you know, I just was like, all right, I need to check her out on my own, talk to her on my own, and see what the, you know, the bullshit meter is doing. And
I have one of those too, Ellen.
They're
great.
If you get them at Walmart, they're on sale this week.
Yep. I've gotten mine from working with kids who have, you know, conduct and behavioral disorders over the last 11 years. Mine is finally attenuated, so very good.
But I'll tell you, Becca is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love this woman. I respect her. I trust her. And the same with Katie. You know, she's been a demonologist for 20 years, and she knows what she's talking about. And she doesn't pretend that she's anything, you know, other than that.
Yeah. Oh, that.
And it was an when we had them at that house by the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
I was so blown away by them.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to expect. I'd never seen anything like that. I don't have any experience with, you know, mediums, psychics. I don't know any.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, you know, I have the psychic abilities of a Q-tip. I don't feel anything. I don't walk into, I mean, other than my brother, that was the only time that I felt something so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can't walk into a room and say, oh, geez, I sense this, I sense that, I sense that. I mean, like the Houghton Mansion, I felt the sadness because of the history that I knew about it. You know, not because I felt the sadness. So if we did have that chance, you know, if they, I feel bad because they don't live close to me. So if I'm going to, you know, use them, it's going to be a very intense investigation that I would need them on.
Right.
But yeah, I think it would be great to go there with somebody like Becca just to see what she picks up on.
Sure.
You know.
So what, you know, what are some of the other places that you know been to other than, you know, the Harley House and the Houghton Mansion? Have there been any other high profile places?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't like doing them because I'd rather do a homeowner's house than do a place that, you know, other teams have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's when I get my. It just makes me feel so good to be able to help somebody and to know that, you know, no, I'm not at a huge well-known place. You know, except for the one for the military.
Yeah.
But the thing with that is we are the only team ever allowed at that location and the only team that will ever be allowed at that location.
Right. So, I mean, are you going to use it, you know, periodically in research terms?
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, you know, out of respect, you know, for you know, what we, you know, we promised them we would not put it on our website. You know, they were afraid of, you know, people trying to break in. If we went public with it. And, you know.
See, and then and that's such a huge problem. I mean, you think of some of the most, you know, famous hauntings, you know, like the Smurl Poltergeist case in West Piston, Pennsylvania, or the Amityville Horror. You know, people who live in those homes now are like, we don't experience anything, but the only thing we experience are a bunch of nerds driving by our house taking pictures at all hours of the day.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like a big thing right now. It's like paranormal tourism is pretty much a really budding industry right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're involved with a project in Charlestown, Mass.
Oh, do tell. I said, please.
Do tell. There are some, you know, revolutionary sites there,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to be checking out you know, like the Warren Tavern, that where, well, I know what they say on their website, but...
What do they say on their website?
Oh, you know, just, you know, the famous people that were known to hang out there. So,
oh, okay.
I'm saying it. Paul Revere went there to cruise chicks. It's out there. I'm saying
now,
it
if you can, now, if you can
Revere,
actually...
George Washington and Ben Franklin went there to cruise chicks.
Okay, now, if you can actually get that on EVP, I will be incredibly impressed. I mean, and please,
I'm
if you
try.
Get that,
no, I'm
send
try.
It to Paranormal Underground.
By the lights of their eyes. Oh, my God. But yeah, this was a hangout of Paul Revere's, and George Washington did go there. Ben Franklin did go there. And, you know, it's in the middle of Charlestown, and it's got a lot of history, and,
sure.
You know, people have felt things and seen things there. So tomorrow night, way past my bedtime, because we can't get in there until 1:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Take a good nap.
Oh man. Yes, Mommy has to take a power nap before she goes there.
Right.
We're going to, you know, investigate there and see what happens. And it's got a very creepy basement.
See, those, I'd have to say that those are my favorite places, creepy basements and scary attics. I just love them.
Oh, you want a creepy basement. Houghton Mansion. Houghton Mansion. Oh, it has... It has dead spiders that have turned white, and they're in these webs up on the ceiling. And
wow.
When you go in there with your camera, you cry like a little kid. It's, oh, God. Like,
yeah,
what are those?
I don't do spiders.
yeah, dead white spiders,
yeah.
And people will bring toys for, you know, spirits of children,
mm-hmm.
that may be in there, and you know, so you'll be, you know, bopping around trying to avoid the spiders, and you'll walk around the corner and there's like a doll with one eye or some creepy thing laying on the floor, and it makes you jump a foot.
So tell us more. Oh, sorry, Ellen.
No, go ahead. That's just, you said creepy basement, and it was like, oh my God, Houghton Mansion.
So tell us more about this this bar where the, you know, well, we would call them a founding fathers, but it sounded like more like they were founding pimps. What
I was saying, I got a vision
baby.
Of Ben Franklin in a mesh T-shirt.
Want to,
you know,
see my wooden teeth?
I have some great one-liners about it, but I can't. See, it's inappropriate.
So what kind of, like, you know, what kind of things have people experienced there? I mean, have they actually seen what looks like the spirit of Ben Franklin?
We told them.
In a mesh T-shirt. That's okay.
A couple of people have seen a woman in a long black dress in the front room. Now, the original Warren Tavern had partially burnt down, and this was built afterwards, and it was, I think it's about 300 years old.
Okay.
You know, we had gone there last year and gone on a little tour of it, and we just, our schedules didn't mesh, and we were like, well, you know, we'll put it on the back burner for now, because it wasn't something, you know, they were desperate for somebody to come check it out. But,
right.
You know, towns like Charlestown that were part of the, you know, the Revolutionary War, there's so much history in Bunker Hill and all that. So,
now, I almost find that these places are really proud of their ghosts, because they feel that these spirits just help that history come alive.
We also had done the, I had mentioned the Dean Winthrop House, which was built in 1637 and is right around the corner from where I live. And that house is the oldest oldest continuously lived-in wooden house in America.
And what year was that built?
1637.
That is amazing.
Always had a caretaker in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the most amazing chimney, and they used to smoke meat in it.
They used to do what?
Smoke meat.
I swear to God, I thought you said they used to smoke weed in it. I'm like, all right, there again, founding fathers are awesome.
No, I didn't. Yeah, spirits got down in the chimney. That's
right.
Yeah, but we were up in, they have a creepy attic, and we were up there, and we were asking Captain Pierce, who was the ship captain that built the house,
mm-hmm.
Here's a story for you. This little girl that was one of the caretaker's children, every night around 8 o'clock, she would just stop what she was doing and just go upstairs, and her mother was like, oh, that's kind of weird, and she kept doing this for like a couple of nights in a row, 8 o'clock on the dot. And so her mother went upstairs and was standing outside her room, and she could hear her talking to someone. So she waited a while, and she went in, and she said, honey, what were you doing? I heard you talking. And she said, oh, the captain was telling me some stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman clearly smelled pipe tobacco in the bedroom.
Right.
But the sad part is that, you know, we tried to track down this woman, and, you know, she's like in her 50s now, and she doesn't remember any of it.
Okay.
But her mother did.
Yeah.
So we were up in the attic, and we were talking to Captain Pierce, and we said, we were looking at the rifles that were downstairs, and we asked if any of the rifles were his, and we played it back, and you hear, no.
Wow. That's
okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and Jack was down in the basement, and we had brought some members of the Historical Association along on an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jack was down there, and we were talking, and we had deputized everybody as, you know, ghost hunters for the night and, you know, full-blooded investigators for the evening. And
sure.
I said, you know, you have to tag everything. If you fart, sneeze, you know, burp, whatever you do, say that, hey, that was Ellen that burped, and it was definitely Rick that farted. You know, you have to tag it.
Yeah, I would definitely claim it. I'm a guy, you know. Claim it.
You know, I said, because when we play it back, we're not going to know what it was. So if you do something, you bump into something, just say, oh, I hit the chair with my foot. So
yeah.
We're going over, the EVPs from the recordings from when Jack was down in the basement with these people.
Sure.
And he's in the middle of a conversation, and over his voice you hear, hello, Jack, in a very proper British accent. And
wow.
I'm like, who the hell was that? Hello, Jack. And it's funny how many places we go to that say hi to him. You know?
Yeah, maybe he's got... Maybe he's just got that kind of energy. You know, Ellen,
he slips him a 20 before we go in, and he's like, listen.
I'm thinking it's more like a 50.
Well, you know, they don't have hands, and they don't have pockets, so it's hard for them to hold the money. But,
right.
You know, it's just funny how many times we catch an EVP saying hi to Jack.
Yeah.
So.
You know, Ellen, I think, tonight we're going to wrap a little bit early. I failed to tell you that I've been kind of battling a little bit of the flu the last couple of days, so, you know.
Oh, sure. You got me out of bed to do this interview. You need a Kleenex. All right, I remember that.
Sorry about that. My little guy's sick as well. But, you know, why don't you tell us, you know, like, give us a, you know, website if you got anything that you're, you know,
yes.
looking to sell or whatever.
mesh t-shirts with Ben Franklin's face on them, you know, Paul Revere thongs and George Washington Speedos, you know,
mm-hmm.
They're on sale for Christmas. Well, our website is spiritsofnewengland.org,
mm-hmm.
and you get to meet the team and see what we've done, the equipment we use, places that we've gone to, our calendar of events, and as you can tell, we have a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, absolutely. We're very serious when we're, you know, when we're investigating, we're very serious and professional, but you can still have fun doing that.
Right.
And still be good.
Right.
But
well, with that,
so much. And,
yes, thank you, Ellen, for being on the show tonight. It was a great conversation.
If you want to write to us or, you know, tell me how beautiful I am on the radio, it's spiritsofnewengland.org@gmail.com.
Outstanding.
Love to hear from you.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much, Ellen, for being on the show.
Well,
it was a fascinating conversation. Thank you very much. You know, again, thank you to Ellen, and thank you for everybody listening. Next week on Paranormal Underground Radio, I'm seriously hoping that Karen will be back. She is the actual host of the show. I am just the goofy co-host. On next week's show, we're going to be talking to Katrina Weidman, who was on, or I think might still be on, Paranormal State. This is actually one of the shows that I really like because I really do feel that they actually do try to offer some help and some real solutions to what's bothering people. So, you know, tune in next week and listen to that. And also, too, go to paranormalunderground.net where you can see this month's issue. And it's November and a couple of weeks. We're going to be putting December up as well. Oh, I won't be putting December up as well. I'm just like the hired gun. But, you know, they'll be putting that up here very soon for your enjoyment. And thanks for listening. And thanks again to Ellen. And everybody have a good night. This is Paranormal Underground Radio. Thank you. So did you. Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Have a good night, everyone.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net. And join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.
Small and so small.